12th chapter of Luke, twice, our Lord mentions something that we're to consider. He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. It's easy to understand why the Lord said, consider the lilies. I would have said that. Consider the lilies. For a lily is beautiful. By the way, he's not talking about the kind of lily that we have in America. We sell for Easter. The lily of the field is a little flower. It's not like a dandelion, but it grows just about that frequent in Palestine. And our Lord says, consider the lily. Anybody would want to consider the flowers. Our God makes the flowers. And Solomon, in all his splendor, with all of his riches and in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of the little lilies of the field. But, you know, it's an amazing thing that God said, consider the raven. Now, if this had been me, I'd have said, consider the dove. But God said, consider the raven. Had it been me, I'd have said, consider the bluebird. But God said, consider the raven. Well, the reason that I would not have written, consider the raven, is because the raven is an unclean bird. In the book of Leviticus, we will not turn to it, but chapter 11 and verse 15, and verses surrounding that, and then the verses around Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 14, God makes a list of all the clean animals and the unclean animals, and he makes a list of all the clean fowl and the unclean fowl. Did you know that the raven was an unclean bird? He's listed with a bat, the hawk, the vulture, the pelican, the camel, and such things as that. People were not allowed to eat. I'll list a few of them. The swan, the pelican. By the way, they weren't allowed to eat the pork either. The hog is mentioned there, along with the bat and the vulture. Now you go ahead and eat your pork if you want to. Personally, I just don't like hog or vulture. I like hog. I just don't eat it. But occasionally, I'll snip a little strip of him for breakfast. My sins are all little ones. The Lord lists the unclean creatures on an airplane going to Egypt. We were eating, and so I asked the stewardess. I said, "What is this meat?" And she said, "The camel's eyeballs." And I strangely lost my appetite. I wasn't hungry anymore. But we're eating camel's eyeballs. Now, I was contrary to the dietary laws of the Old Testament, because the dietary law said you couldn't eat a camel. And in the Hebrew, it said especially his eyeballs. But now, listed here in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, with all of the unclean creatures, the bat and the vulture, and certain kind of eagle, and the pelican, and the swan, and the hawk, and the camel, is listed the raven. Now, that's interesting. Why would our Lord choose the raven? He said, consider the raven. God provides for the beast of the field. He cares for the raven. Now, as I said a while ago, I could understand it if he had chosen something like the dove or the pigeon, or something like that. But he said, consider the raven. I think God chooses it on purpose, of course. The Holy Spirit carefully chooses. As our Lord is talking here, the Holy Spirit carefully tells him to say, consider not a clean bird, but an unclean bird. Consider the raven. Now, the Lord is trying to show us that if the Lord takes care of the birds of the field, he'll certainly take care of us. But he goes even a step further than that. He said, if God takes care of the unclean bird in the field, God will certainly take care of us. And that's the entire teaching of this passage, is if God will feed the birds, but more than that, if God will feed the unclean bird, the old croaking raven, I mean the old unclean raven, if God will feed that kind of bird, I wonder, wouldn't God feed you? He's saying, if God will feed an unclean bird, won't God feed someone like you? You're made in the image of God. What is man that thou art mindful of him, wrote the psalmist, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. And goes on to say, thou hast put all things under his feet, all birds and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the path of the sea is, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. If God would feed a dirty bird, then won't God feed one made in the image of himself? Won't God feed one who's the apple of his eye? If God knows about and cares for and loves a dirty old raven, don't you think God loves you and cares for you and knows about you? That's the teaching here. Now, there's several things I want you to notice about a raven. I'm going to give you a lesson this morning. And what is bird science of? You got a PhD. Ornithology? Anybody know if that's wrong? Ornithology? It's right. Ornithology. It's always nice to have a man know something. He doesn't know any Bible, but he knows science an awful lot. And ornithology. Oh, that's what fellow worked on your foot. Okay, ornithology. I'm not going to give you a course in ornithology this morning, but I do want to talk to you about the raven. And what I'd like you to do is this. When you walk out those doors, I'd like for you to say, well, blessed be God, he knows me. Well, blessed be God, he cares for me. Well, blessed be God, he feeds me. Well, praise the Lord, I'm the apple of his eye. God is concerned about my problems. I've said this 1,000 times on this pulpit. God knows you. He knows where you're sitting this morning. He knows every baby in that nursery. He knows where you live. He knows your problems. He knows your burdens. He's concerned about your problems. He's concerned about your burdens. And I want to try to convince you of that this morning as I consider with you the ravens. In the first place, did you know God can use a raven? God can use a raven. You couldn't eat a raven, but God could use a raven. A raven was unclean, but God used a raven. Stop to think sometimes of things that God used in the Bible. God used a rooster. Said Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And as Dr. Rice tells about that, he says that the rooster got up out there on the fence and says, can I crow now? And the Lord said, no, you hush it right now. Wait till Peter denies me three times. And so Peter denied him, and he said, rooster said, hush. And the Lord said, hush, not yet now, you hush. This is all in the Greek. And the rooster, God used the rooster. Did you notice in the Bible that God uses the donkey? That means he can use some of you donkeys too. God used the donkey. Jesus rode on a foal of an ass. Balaam was made right by the use of a donkey. God used a fish. Our Lord came to pay taxes, and he got a fish and opened his mouth, and there was a coin. God used his little people, a stuttering Moses, a timid, small Saul of Tarsus, introverted Gideon, a little lad with a lunch basket. Did you know God can use a raven, a dirty raven? In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verses 4 and following, the story is told of Elijah, the distraught, overwrought, fearful prophet. Elijah stood up before the prophets of Jezebel and had stood before the prophets of Baal and had stood for what was right. And fire had come down from God out of heaven and devoured the bullock on the altar. And God was vindicated. Elijah, the great prophet, had stood and even cut the heads of the prophets off. I've always envied him a great deal. Some prophets of Baal whose heads I'd like to sever occasionally, but in love, of course. But Elijah cut the heads of the prophets off, and Jezebel said, I'll get you! I'll kill you! Elijah ran for his life. He wouldn't run from the prophets of Baal, but he ran from Jezebel, and well he might. But the thing about it is, Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. Elijah ran. But he stopped one time, and he said, Lord, I just wish I could die. Well, I don't think he meant that, because Jezebel would have obliged him if he had just waited a while. But he said, Lord, I wish I could die. And you recall the story how that Elijah was fed, was cared for by God. But another time, the Bible says that Elijah was fed by the ravens. God sent some ravens in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 4 through 6, and used those ravens to feed his prophet. Then don't you think God can use you? If God can use a rooster, if God can use a donkey, if God can use an unclean bird like a raven, then God can use you. One of the greatest days in my life One of the greatest days in my life was the day when I realized that God could use me. You see, I was a little fellow when I was a kid. I was an introvert when I was a boy. I flunked public speaking. I didn't flunk it, but I almost did. It kept me off the National Honor Society in high school. And I was not a good public speaker, and I was a little kind of fellow. But one day it dawned on me as a little country preacher that God could use me. One of the greatest days in my life when I believed that God could use me. Sam Jones, the great evangelist of the early part of this century in our country, great Methodist evangelist, was a timid, introvert kind of a circuit-riding Methodist preacher, working for about $40 a year on a Methodist circuit. He went one day to a workers' conference, a denominational meeting, and a preacher stood up and made a statement, among others, that the pulpit was a throne and the preacher was a king. And that morning, as Sam Jones rode back on his horse with his preacher brethren, he said, "I learned something this morning." And they said, "What?" He said, "I learned that a pulpit is a throne and a preacher is a king." And he said, "Next Sunday, I'm ascending the royal stairway. I'm going to become a king in the pulpit next Sunday." Sam Jones was turned upside down. The great portion of this country was turned upside down. Why? Because Sam Jones realized that God could use him. Did you know God could use you? Oh, you say, "Preacher, I never have been to seminary." Well, that may be a help to you. In some cases, it's ruined about as many as itself. I'm not against seminary. I went myself. I took Greek, and I took all the courses, and I've studied all what you seminary folks are studying and so forth. I've been there. But that doesn't mean God can't use you. The truth is, God can use you whether or not you've been to seminary. You say, "Preacher, I don't have a degree from college." God can still use you. But listen, I can name that many people in this room this morning that have not graduated from high school yet, that God is using more than is using any seminary graduate I know in America today. I can tell you that many people in this room who win more souls to Christ than any seminary graduate I know. And these people have never been to a Bible school, Bible college, or a seminary. You say, "Brother Hiles, I'm sort of timid," but God can use you. You say, "Brother Hiles, I have a lift when I talk." Well, God can use you then. Anyway, God can use you. There was a fellow in Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, Dr. Beecham Vick. His name was, last name was Lowry. I've forgotten his first name. Last name was Lowry. He had an impediment of speech. You could hardly understand the fellow when he talked. He understand a word he said. And so he went to Dr. Vick. And Dr. Vick, he said, "Yes, what?" And Dr. Vick said, "What?" "He said, God and called me to be a preacher." Dr. Vick said, "Did I understand you right? God is what?" "He said, God and called me to be a preacher." He said, "God has called you to be a what?" "A preacher, like you are, a preacher." And he said, "You mean God's called you to be a preacher?" That's it. "God called me to be a preacher." And he said, "Are you sure?" "Yeah, I'm sure." And Dr. Vick said, "Well, I didn't believe it. I couldn't believe it." He said, well, "I want to go off to college." And he said, the fellow enrolled in Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. And he said, everybody sort of made a joke out of it because you couldn't understand what he said. But said, you know what he did? He got a job working his way through college. You know how he got it? How he worked with the college? Mechanic? No. Selling vacuum cleaners. Yeah. He'd go up to the front door and say, "I'm the new vacuum cleaner." And you know what? He worked his way through college selling vacuum cleaners. And they couldn't understand it, but he just kept on and kept on and kept on and took speech therapy and took public speaking, and he kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. And finally, he fell in love with the prettiest girl on the campus. Well, the prettiest girl on the campus doesn't want to marry a fellow can't talk plain. But he said, "Will you marry me?" And she said, "No." And he just kept on and kept on, and he wouldn't stay away from her. And finally, she fell in love with that fella, and she married him. And there he was, making his way through college, selling vacuum cleaners, and married the prettiest girl on the campus. And finally, he became a preacher. He couldn't talk very plainly, but he went to Richmond, Virginia. And in Richmond, Virginia, all he did, he just took off from house to house, round the block, round the next block, round the next block. And in a matter of a couple of years, he's running 700 in Sunday school. Why? God can use you. So God takes an old dirty raven, an old croaking raven, a dirty bird, and God says, I can use a raven. Elijah, I'll feed you. And so he said, I need to send a bird down there. And I'm sure the dove said, well, I'm the one that ought to go because I'm the prettiest bird of all, and I represent peace. The Lord said, no, if I send a dove, I'm afraid Hiles and Billings would think they could. I couldn't use them because they're not doves. But Hiles and Billings and Colston, they're more like the ravens. Billings croaks when he sings, and Hiles croaks when he preaches, and John croaks when he sits. But if I'd send a raven, then that would show all the people, the little people, the poor people, the common man, God can use them. I get a little weary. A person goes off to college, and he gets a little polish, and he goes off to seminary. And I'm not against it. I think you ought to go to college. We have more students in colleges, Christian colleges in this country, than any church in America. No doubt about it. We have more students at Bob Jones University than any church in America. We have more students at Tennessee Temple than any school there, church in America, I'm sure. We have in other schools, Grand Rapids we have some, and Baptist Bible College we have some, and one or two at Moody Institute, and a few up in the Maranatha Baptist College, and so forth. And we believe in Christian education. But let me tell you right now, Christian education does not make you somebody come late just because you've got a degree. I like what Dr. Rice says. It's like the curl in a pig's tail. It's a very cute thing, but doesn't make you any more pork. A fellow goes off to go, I'm arrived. No, God used ravens. God said, I'm not going to use the dove. I'm not going to use the mighty eagle. I'm not going to use the pigeon. I'm going to use an old raven, an unclean bird, to show my people everywhere I can use anybody in God's service. Years ago, I told you a story, and every time I think about God using anybody, I think of this story. When I was pastoring a country church down in East Texas, the Grange Hall Baptist Church in Marshall, Texas, we had a fella in our church whose name was Urban Bell. Urban had a twisted left hand. He wore his left hand, wore his left hand. He had his left hand like this, and his right hand was here. He was afflicted. And he couldn't move that right hand away from his chin, and he couldn't move his left hand any more than like this. And this is the way he walked. And when Urban hello, brother, how are you? And that's the way he talked. Well, Urban came one day and said, I want to join the choir. And he joined the choir. I let him join. We got folks up here can't sing any better than he can. Look at the choir. Look, Garland Jennings of all people. Anyway, he said, I want to join. And so I let him join the choir. There he was, Arizona. But he was a good guy. And his mind was all right, but he just couldn't talk right. And he was like this. And so one night, the biggest alcoholic in the neighborhood, name was Lancaster, came to the services. Boy, everybody said, hey, the biggest drunkard in this whole area has come to the service. Nobody ever thought he'd go to church. Boy, I got my best sermon out, you know. Boy, the hottest one I could get, and the meanest one, and the plainest, and the simplest one, and the frankest one. Boy, I preached that night just to that one drunkard. I unloaded the whole bale of hay right on him. And so, would you believe it? Didn't affect him a bit. Not a bit. Well, Mrs. Eves and Mr. Eves, that's Mr. Eves, my one-legged deacon, the deacon chairman, had no peg leg, he was the... Lancaster was her brother, Mrs. E's brother. So my deacon chairman went over this peg leg and put his arm on this fellow's shoulder and said, look, Mr. Lancaster, I've forgotten his first name. He said, why don't you get saved tonight? He shook him off and wasn't about to get saved. Well, everybody was praying for him. Well, his sister, Mrs. Eves, she said, please, bud, why don't you get saved tonight? I'll leave you alone. So I decided I'd go back. After all, I'm a preacher. I'd wave my magic wand, sprinkle some woofle dust over him, and I'm the preacher. I've been to seminary. I can quote Greek, so I went back and I said, look, I want to see you saved. If anybody went in, I thought I could. And you know what he did? He pushed me aside. I mean, with his arm like that. So pretty soon, would you believe it? Urban Bell, yeah, in the choir. He walked and went back over here. Well, it was out next to the wall on the side. He went over and and you know what happened? You guessed it. The guy began to weep. He fell under conviction. He walked down the aisle. He got saved. And from that one fella, I suspect 75 other people got saved in the next few months. Why? God can use anybody. God can use you for the house. I've got an affliction. Okay, God can use you. Moses couldn't talk plainly. Paul said to the people at Corinth, you say my speech is contemptible. So God reached down and said, Raven, go feed Elijah. I want to show the whole world that I can use an unclean bird so people of all persuasions can know I can use the rich, but I can also use the poor. I can use the learned, but I can also use the unlearned. I can use the pretty, but I can also use the ugly. I can use that which is gifted. I can also use that which is not gifted. God can use you. Down in South Carolina, there's a wonderful story. I think the town is Spartanburg, South Carolina. There's a girl there who is a secretary. Well, that's not unusual. But she's a secretary for a preacher. Well, that's not unusual either. But this girl is paralyzed from her neck down. She cannot move her fingers. But she types all the preacher's letters. She is a secretary. Types every, need some help in the back. All right, now never do that again. Never do that again. I've made the announcements again and again that nothing is more important in this church than the preaching of the gospel. Now then, this lady, is secretary for a preacher. Now she's paralyzed from the neck down. How does she type his letters? She puts a piece, something in her teeth, like this. And she has a typewriter, and she like that. And for years, she has been the secretary for a preacher. For years. Now, God can use anybody. God can use you. Listen, don't you hide behind the excuse. I can't do anything for God. I'll just come and sit because I don't have any talent. If God can use a raven, a donkey, a rooster, God can use you. And you ought to be doing something for God. You ought to be more than a Sunday morning worshiper. You ought to be more than a Sunday morning sitter. You ought to be more than a Sunday morning learner. The oldest lady in this house, the oldest man in this room, ought to be doing something for God. The least gifted person in this house ought to be doing something for God. The most timid teenager in this house ought to be doing something for God. God says, I can use a dirty raven, an unclean raven. I can use you. But there's something else. God feeds the raven. God feeds the raven. May I tell you something about the raven? And what's that science now? Horticulture? Ornithology. I'm going to teach them about ornithology here. Did you know that a raven, a mother raven, is a very cruel kind of a bird? Those who know, what's the word again? Ornithologists say that a mother raven will only feed her little one until he can fly. Then when he learns to fly, he has to leave and feed himself. She'll never feed him again once he can fly. She pushes him out of the nest. He has to go. And there are those who believe that the little raven cannot even stay in the same country with the mother raven. I mean the same area. Has to leave the country. When I say country, I don't mean the United States of America, because ravens can't get passports easily. But I mean has to leave the country, the area, you see. Why? Because the mother raven insists that little raven just learned to fly, feed itself. Now, wait a minute. Who feeds that little raven? Little dirty raven? A little unclean bird? When that raven is, God is saying, when that mother raven pushes that little baby raven out of the nest and that little raven flies for its first time and the mother says, I won't feed you again. God says, I'll take over now. I'll take over now. And God feeds that raven. Now, if I were God, I'd feed the dove and I'd feed the pigeon. But God feeds the hawk and God feeds the pelican. And God feeds the bat. And God feeds the vulture. And God feeds the raven. Now what he's saying is this. If God will feed the birds, he'll feed you. But he goes farther than that. If God will feed the dirty birds, unclean birds, he'll feed you. You hear me? God is duty bound to feed you. You heard me tell the story about the little boy and his widow mother. And the widow had just barely enough to make ends meet, just barely enough. And then finally, one day, she got to the end of the bottom of the barrel, and she got the spoon, and she scraped, and was scraping the bottom of the barrel. And finally, she, in desperation, gave up, and she sat down and said, it's no use, it's gone. And the little boy said, "Mommy, don't you think God heard that scraping? Don't you think God heard that scraping?" "Oh, yes. And God knows if you have need today. God knows if you don't have any food in the cupboard. God knows if you're out of money, you don't know how to make ends meet. God knows." God looks down and says, "Look at that little raven." He says, "Elijah, John the Baptist, Peter, look at that little raven. That one being pushed out of his nest right now, I'm going to feed that little raven." Now, if God feeds the raven, God feeds you. But there's something else. God hears the raven. God hears the raven. He hears the croaking of the raven's voice. And God is saying to all the world, "I can use the raven, a dirty bird. I can use you. If I'll feed an unclean bird, I'll feed a bird that's too dirty to eat even. I'll feed you." But God is saying, "I'll also hear you." Listen to me, way back in the balcony this morning. Little child, teenager, adult, way back in the corners, or back here somewhere, I don't even know who you are. And perhaps you slipped in this morning in the service and not many folks know you. If your name was called, nobody would know who you were. You're not a deacon here. You're not on the staff. You're just a little nobody. But did you know this morning, if you would look up and say, dear God, forgive my sins, and I'm sorry, I want to come to Christ. Did you know God would hear you? Oh, yes, He would. This morning, if you have a heavy heart and you say, God, give me strength for today, I have a burden, you know the Lord will hear you. You say, how could God hear me? I'm nobody. God hears the raven. He hears the croaking of the raven's cry. The raven crying for food. He doesn't even know he's crying for food. He doesn't know it. He has no promises he can claim. He cannot use any logic. He can't say, Lord, look here, you promised to feed ravens. No, He didn't. The Lord said He does feed ravens. But He never wrote a verse in the Bible that said, raven, I'll feed you. But He did read a verse in the Bible that said He'd feed you. He said His own people won't go hungry. They won't be begging bread. God won't let His righteous seed beg bread. God has promised to take care of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. God's promised that. You can take it and say, Lord, here it is. What are you going to do about it? The raven can't do that. But if God feeds a dirty raven that can't even ask for his daily bread, how much more will God feed you who can say, give us this day our daily bread? And how much more will God hear you and know that you're there? When a little child at bedtime, 2 years old, bows his head, and the mother says, now, say your prayers. Say, bless mommy, meh mommy, and bless daddy, meh daddy, and the little child said, bless Brother Hyle, Brother Hyle, as the little Townsend girl used to say when Jim Lyons was here, my assistant pastor, Dr. Billings. She'd say, before she went to bed, say, Lord, bless Brother Hyles and bless that other man too, as the fellow said over here. Bless him. And little child said, bless Brother Hyle and he too, and bless Grandma and Grandma. Did you know that God hears that little child? He hears the suckling baby that cries at night. Look, here's a group of people sitting at night, maybe a few couples, out on the front porch, and it's summertime, and they're looking up and they're studying the stars. And all the beauty of the Pleiades and Orion and all the stars at night, the Big Dipper, Little Dipper, the North Star, and they're studying the stars and talking about how the greatness. Maybe they're even studying the stars professionally, and suddenly there's a cry. And a whimper. There's one person in that group that leaves the stars and leaves the study and turns her back on the great, vast universe and goes in the bedroom and pulls the cover back to see if the little crying baby is all right. God is that way. God is that way. Oh, God's busy this morning. He had to make the sun rise at the right time. It never rises here, but down south they have the sunshine. And out west they have it sometime too. Not in Los Angeles. You can't see it there. But made the sun rise. He'll make it set this evening. He keeps all the universe in place. He takes care of all the busy, jobbing, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. But in spite of His great power, His omniscience, that same mighty God of the universe says, the little raven just fell off its nest. His mother kicked him out. Gabriel, tell some angels to go take care of dropping something for that little raven to eat. And hear that raven's cry. And God hears your cry. This morning, if you're not saved, He wants to hear your cry. If you are His child, He wants to hear your cry. If you, this morning, have a burden, God wants to know about it. For God hears the raven. I was in Japan preaching, 3 years ago next February. It was noontime in Japan. I had finished preaching, and someone else was preaching, and I was sitting beside a friend of mine, Russell Anderson, who was in Japan with me, and a businessman. We were sitting together. It was noontime, and I looked at my watch, and it was exactly noon, and I began crying. And Russell looked at me and said, "Dr. House, what are you weeping about?" And I said, "Russell, I said, it's 9 o'clock at night, behold." And I just happened to think how many hundreds of little children are praying right now, "Dear Lord, bless my preacher tonight, wherever he is." And I said, I just happened to think how many men tonight are kneeling beside their bed saying, "Dear God, bless Brother Hiles and bring him back home safely." And I just happened to think how many people right now praying for me. And Russell began to cry, and we both just had a big cry. Isn't that wonderful? God hears the cry of the babe. God hears the cry of the raven. God hears the cry of the hawk. God hears the cry of the vulture. God hears the cry of the bat. I was out in California preaching at Lucerne, California. Big, great big hotel. And I walked in my room. Would you believe what was there? A bat. A bat. I don't mean a baseball bat. I mean a bat bat. A bat! And they scare me to death. They're blind in the first place, aren't they? And they scare me to death. And but you know, God is concerned about that bat. And that bat was trying to find its way out. I helped him. And it's trying to find its way out. And did you know God's concerned about helping that bat get out? God and I both were, by the way. And oh my, how often I've thought about that. Oh, I've said this many times. One day when I was the most discouraged I think I've ever been. Hardly ever get that way. But I was on bottom. I was driving down Fayette Street over here, just the other side of the tracks, just about as you come to the freight place. I was driving my little Renault car I used to have, and I was really blue. I just felt like nobody knew my problems. And suddenly, a little bird flew down in front of my car, and I tried to miss it. But I hit it, and I got out of the car, stopped the car, and got out of the car. And I went around, and there he was, lying right in front of the bumper. And he was fluttering his wings, and soon he was gone. And I said, "Dear Lord, you say you notice that. Every sparrow that falls from the sky, you notice that." And I said, "Lord, you know my burdens, don't you? You know my problems. You know, yes, you do. And He knows yours this morning. He knows every heartache. He knows the pain that shoots through your body. He knows the heavy load you carry on your heart. He knows, and He hears your cry this morning." But there's something else. He sees. He sees the raven. He sees the... He uses him. He feeds him. He hears him. And He sees him. You know, God knows every raven, has them all by name. Did you know the Bible says that God has named all the stars? The Lord says, here's a little raven being pushed out of his nest by his mother. And the Lord says, "Hey, Gabriel, look at old Joe being pushed out of his nest." He names. He knows them all. He knows your name. He knows that your name is Robert J. Billings. He knows that you're principal of the Hammond Baptist High School. He knows that principals sometimes have heavy loads to carry. He knows that leaders are oftentimes misunderstood completely. A while ago, when I said, "Don't interrupt the service anymore," well, most folks won't understand that. Most folks won't understand that. I spend a lot of lonely hours because folks don't understand things like that. Except to me, I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Nothing is as important as the preaching of the Word of God to people who have hungry hearts. Nothing. Nobody understands that but a leader. There are times, Dr. Billings, God knows that this nobody understands you either. In fact, I don't understand you. And God knows there are times nobody understands you. But God knows it, and God knows the burden, and God knows the heartache, and God knows the lonely hours, and God knows when you have to paddle a child. And we do paddle folks at our high school, by the way. We have a paddle for girls and a paddle for boys. I didn't know that till I went out, and so I don't know what you'd paddle hippies with. I guess half each. But God knows that sometimes you have to paddle a child, and the child thinks you're mean, and God sees the tears that drop on the office carpet as you close the door and wish you didn't have to do it. God knows that. God knows your name. He knows yours and yours and yours and yours and yours. Children, He knows you. He knows your burden. He knows your heartaches. He knows your problems. And He sees you this morning. I think that's wonderful. I think it's so wonderful that God sees me and takes note of me. And God knows me. And God feeds me. And God loves me. All over this world this morning, the preacher standing up, and they're saying, "Thou the great God of the universe." That's wonderful. But you know what? A little crying baby at night doesn't need a mother out studying astrology. A little crying baby at night needs a mother who knows astrology, but a mother who will hear the whimper of the crying baby and come in and tuck the blanket around the baby, or pick the baby up and put the baby over the shoulder and pat him on the back till he goes, and then wipe the milk off your dress and put the baby back. Or maybe the baby just needs to know that mama's at home, and the mother comes and pats the little baby, and the baby. Maybe this morning you're going, you don't need an omnipotent God. You need somebody that can care for you. You need somebody to calm your nerves. You need someone to calm your fears. You need someone to feed your body. You need someone to care for your needs. You need a personal God. This morning, if you're here and you do not know Him, if you do not know that you're saved, if you do not know that if you died today you'd go to heaven, God knows you're there, and God wants to save you. And God, this morning, if you'd look up and say, "Dear God, I'm just sort of unclean. I'm like a raven. I'm not worth anything much. But Lord, You feed the ravens. And Lord, You use the ravens. And Lord, You know the ravens. And Lord, You hear the ravens. And Lord, You see the ravens." I think You'd probably hear me too. And if You would say, "Dear God, this morning, I'd like for You to forgive my sins and save my soul. And I'd like to receive Christ as my Savior." The God who made the sun rise this morning would bend His ear low, and He would say to the universe, "Wait a while, wait a while. I must leave the stars. I must leave the heavens. I must leave the omnipotence of my performance. I've got something to do." And that God would leave His astrology and come where you sit this morning and put His arm on your shoulder and say, "You're forgiven. You're my child." I hope today, if you do not know Him, I hope if you've never trusted Him, you'll do so this morning. Consider the ravens. Let us pray together, please.